So here we are with Cora Sherlock. Cora is a practicing lawyer. She's also one of the leaders and the vice chairman of the pro-life campaign. But Cora, you've been active for a very long time in the pro-life movement.
Yes, I have been working away with the pro-life campaign for about 20 years now. So yeah, it's quite a long time.
And of the 20 years that you've been involved, how does one become the vice chairman, if you like, of the pro-life campaign?
Gosh, I think it's just a case that I stayed so long that they couldn't get rid of me. So, look, the title doesn't really matter. There's so many people who work really hard together to keep abortion out. And it's very much a team effort, the pro-life campaign. And indeed, all pro-life groups around the country, we're just all working hard at the moment. And we'll keep on working hard. There's no doubt about that.
And when we were talking earlier on, we were just talking about where things are at and where we've where to from here and so on. But one of the things that we were also talking about is people felt cheated, I think. A lot of people turned out, and you haven't seen marches of that scale since the 1960s, and yet the government ignored. So I suppose the first question on the back of that is, what is it that people, what do people need to know at this point?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the people really did feel cheated last year, and the government completely ignored them. They dismissed them, and they took a very dismissive attitude of voters in this country in general. As you say, the vigils that we saw last year, we haven't seen anything like them for any of the big issues of the day: austerity, unemployment, homelessness. The pro-life campaign, or the pro-life message and the pro-life issue, galvanised people. I suppose, why were they so galvanised? Because they knew that the government was trying to mislead them and trying to get that message out there last year that abortion in some way was a solution or some sort of healing effect for a woman who's in a suicidal situation, when there is absolutely no evidence anywhere in the world to show that that is the case. And we now have a law in place that actually goes against everywhere, and it goes against the trend worldwide, which is to try and pull back on abortion legislation, because other countries like Spain, America, Portugal, they're starting to realise the humanity of the unborn child. They just can't deny it anymore, and they're realising as well the very negative effect that abortion has on women.
Just to talk about that negative effect, I mean, some women, let's be honest, are unapologetic. I mean, is that because they just haven't realised what they've done, what they've participated in? Are they just so detached? Or is that an unfair remark?
I suppose when it comes to women who've had abortions, the way I feel about it is that I don't really like to think about their reasons for feeling the way they do, because every woman who makes a decision in her life, whether I agree with it or not, makes it for her own decisions. And I have huge sympathy for any woman who regrets abortions. That's how I feel. And I've spoken to enough women who regret their abortions to know that it is often something that a woman has terrible trauma about. Maybe she doesn't have it for years. And certainly I'm very glad if a woman never has that trauma, by the way, because no pro-life person that I want or that I know wants to see any woman in distress. But it is a very sad fact that many women do regret their abortions and are very sad in the aftermath. And that's, again, something that the government just ignored last year. They didn't listen to the women from groups like Women Hurt, who said that they would come in and talk about their experiences. The government has no interest in that. And it's really very worrying that they dismiss things like that so easily.
When they got the assumed power and they were, having elected, they'd made promises to an awful lot of people. They broke those promises. Would that be fair?
That's right. They made a very important pro-life commitment to pro-life voters. They absolutely, categorically, Fine Gael said they were opposed to the legalisation of abortion. They would not legalise abortion. And they went to extraordinary lengths to persuade the pro-life campaign to advertise that commitment, to let that be known to our supporters that pro-life promise had been made before the general election, so that those votes would go to Fine Gael voters. And they were very adamant about that. And it makes me laugh or cry, I should say, when I see Fine Gael voters saying this pro-life promise never existed. This promise existed. Pro-life voters know that it existed. They voted on foot of it, and they won't vote for Fine Gael again because of it.
You sound very sure of that, by the way.
Well, I am, because you know, the funny thing about voters in this country is that once they give their vote based on something, based on a promise that is then broken, that angers people. And for the government to think that that's not the case, they're just fooling themselves. We have people coming to the pro-life campaign offices, contacting us, and we've had them since last summer, since the legislation went through, saying, what about the pro-life promise? Why did they break the promise? And then saying, I'll never vote for them again. What can I do to help, A, make Fine Gael realise the mistake they have made, and B, overturn this legislation? I suppose that there is always a sense that the government is in defence mode, you know, and it's really in defence mode on this and on many other issues. You know, the economy, employment, education, none of those matter if you're not first given the right to life. And, you know, that's really what people out there, I think, need to remember. And what pro-life voters need to remember is that it's up to us to keep this as high up on the political agenda as other things. We will be hearing from the government about how great everything is going and how fantastic they are. That will not erase the fact that they broke the pro-life promise last year. And it's up to pro-life voters around the country and people who believe in this issue to keep reminding the government they will not get our votes back. We don't care what they did until they sort out and repeal the legislation, the terrible, unjust and inhumane legislation that they passed last summer. And I mean, if you think about it, if we can just recall the horrors of that legislation. One thing that really strikes me is one very simple amendment that the government were asked to put into the legislation by some of the TDs who were trying to make a horrific situation a little bit better. They tried to put in an amendment which would require doctors to give pain relief to babies who were being aborted at a late stage, because this legislation allows abortion for the full 9 months of pregnancy, and the government refused to put in that amendment. They don't care about the pain and suffering of those babies in late-term abortions, which is legal under this legislation. So it's really horrific, and it's up to us to fight it.
You said it's really horrific there. I mean, one of the things that I'm struck by is that how supporters of Enda Kenny bemoaned the fact that he was labelled Herodian with his detachment and confusion, if you like, whatever was going on, and his own brand of faith that he said, look, I'm my own man. But yet then we see him in Rome shaking hands with the Pope.
Well, I think, you know, obviously there's a couple of different reasons. Enda Kenny is the head of state. He was going to go to that day in Rome. There was no question about that. And in fact, and indeed, you know, none of us are suggesting that he shouldn't be there. He's our head of state. We expect him to go to days like that, huge days of celebration in the Vatican. That's where he's going to be. But we would also be foolish if we were to think that there isn't some element of a political aspect to situations like that. A great photo call, shaking hands with the Pope. Subsequently, he said that he invited the Pope to visit Ireland. We've also seen the reopening of the Vatican embassy in recent months. These are clearly attempts to win back the conservative votes that were lost last year. They won't work. That's the bottom line, because we will be reminding people, and we are constantly reminding people, who I am sure have worked it out for themselves as well, but in case they need reminding, they will be reminded that this is just it's quite a cynical attempt. I would see it as quite a cynical attempt to win back conservative votes. Enda Kenny needs to address the abortion issue. Shaking hands with the Pope, he can shake hands with every Pope from now until Kingdom Come. It doesn't make a difference until he repeals this legislation and addresses the terrible thing that he has done and has allowed his government to do last year.
Do you think this will mark his time as Taoiseach?
Absolutely, it will mark his time as Taoiseach. You know, it's not something that he will ever be forgotten for. And, you know, that is it's a quite a tragic situation for him personally, because nobody should have abortion on their legacy. We saw that David Steele in the UK is known for introducing the Abortion Act 1967. And, you know, can you think of anything else that he did? Because I certainly can't. No doubt people will say, oh, he did this and he did that. But the one thing that he's known for is introducing abortion. And, you know, let's remember that in the UK today, babies who are disabled can be aborted up to birth. it's quite sex-selective abortions are freely available. I mean, the abuses that go on there are astonishing. We had that horrific story in the last few weeks about the remains of aborted babies being used in incinerators to heat British hospitals. That's a tragedy of an abortion society, and a society where abortion has become accepted and just taken for granted. And I'm sure that David Steele looks back and wonders about the wisdom of introducing abortion back then. I know he has certainly said things that along the lines that he didn't expect that abortion would become so widespread. So will it go down as part of Enda Kenny's legacy? Absolutely. It will be the only thing that he is known for. Equally, if he has the wisdom to go back and say we made a mistake last year, he will be known as a person who had the courage of his convictions and actually said, well, I made a mistake. That's something that he could still do, but it remains to be seen whether he will.
And that would also heal his own party, of course, as well.
Absolutely, because there was so much damage done last year to that, when you can see politicians of the calibre and ability of Lucinda Creighton, Terence Flanagan, Peter Matthews, Fidel Mihaly-Eames, Paul Bradford, many others, Billy Timmins, you know, other people like that who just shouldn't have been thrown out of the party because of having the courage to stand up, firstly for the pro-life promise that he, Enda Kenny, had made on their behalf and on behalf of the whole party. But secondly, they had the courage to stand up for the most vulnerable in society and say that that unborn babies deserve to have a voice, because they don't have a voice yet. Somebody has to speak up and say, we're not going to let their lives be ended arbitrarily in this horrific way.